back to the Narnia Web Council. I am here today, your host, Rillian, and joining me, we have Jim Fan. Hello, Jim Fan. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Well, we have some news to discuss, starting off with the Dawn Treader moving to Australia, possibly. It's funny how some of our headlines just end up with question marks at the end. we also have Michael Petroni taking over the Dawn Treader script. And then we have Dawn Treader's new release date. Woohoo!
Woot!
And we also have Ben Barnes in his new movie. We're just going to mention that because if he's filming in the summer, then it might mean that, I don't know. We'll see. We'll just discuss it when we get there.
Yep.
So, first off, Dawn Treader in Australia. It seems that what we thought was maybe going to be some filming in Mexico, turns out that possibly due to escalating violence, Walden Media is looking at Australia, closer to Queensland, this year to film the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. It says that this is from 8 at Cool News, says one of the conditions is that the Gold Coast needs a new processing lab, and Village Roadshow is currently in the process of opening one. And Narnia and Green Lantern are both filming in Australia, and the guy says, and you thought the weekend dollar was a bad thing. So, looks like, again, we're going to see some more Australia/New Zealand filming,
yep,
as opposed to North American or European film locations, which
is not,
I think,
a bad
is a great thing.
Yeah,
no,
it's good.
I think it'll cut down on the travel costs, which I think ramped up the budget for Prince Caspian.
Yeah, anything that if it costs less money, it's good with us, because the less money it costs to make, the more chance we have of Dawn Treader being a good success, and the more
which
chance
does not
we
mean
have
we want them to cut out the CG Aslan.
Movies.
Please don't go back to the puppet.
Yeah, just not the puppet.
Low budgets are good, but not at the expense of anything.
No.
And actually, I really wish. I actually emailed Warrior for Jesus today to see if he could join us. But right now, as of recording, it is about little after about 4:40 in the morning. For him. No, wait.
Which is pretty early.
More like 3 a.m. for him, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so but I wish we could have him or Doobie here so that they could, give a couple Aussies on here to talk about the Australia locations, because I don't know much of my Australian geography, to be honest. I know it's a very diverse landscape. We tend to think of Australia as Crocodile Dundee, but it's much more diverse than that.
Yep.
Okay, well, moving on. Michael Petroni, it says, takes over Dawn Treader's script. Initially, it was believed that Stephen Marcus and Christopher McFeely would write the Voyage of Dawn Treader's script. Then in May 2008, Stephen Knight was announced as the writer. And then, less than a month ago, the news broke that Richard LeGravenese, I'm going to butcher his name, LeGravenese had been brought to write it. And I must say, I was really excited about him, because I did see Freedom Riders since the last episode, and I thought that was a very well done, very realistic film, great dialogue, very,
yep,
gripping. And according to Variety, we get so much news from Variety, it's amazing. Michael Petroni is writing the script. Petroni landed the Narnia gig based on his recent work for Fox 2000, including a rewrite of the Kevin Lima-directed vehicle Afterlife, an adaptation of Marcus Suzak's novel, The Book Thief, and a rewrite of Julia Roberts' starer, Daniel Isn't Talking. That just came out really weird. So, I actually don't know a lot about this guy.
Me neither. I don't think I've seen any of his work.
Yeah, I'm looking him up on the Incompetent Movie the International Movie Database. He did Queen of the Damned.
Okay.
I think it's not, yes, I don't think that's the expletive, that is the state of salvation. Yeah, he did Queen of the, and he did another one. Okay, this one I can say, but I feel bad saying it, another movie called The Dangerous Lives of Altar Boys.
Okay.
And then it doesn't sound very good. And then he did the movie Possession and Miracles, which is a TV series, and then Till Human Voices Wake Us.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any of these movies, but I'm looking at the titles and I'm thinking, this guy's going to be doing Voyage of Dawn Treader. Email us, quick, so we can give this guy... we don't want to give him a bad rap if because we haven't seen his movies. We don't know what his skill is. And there's people who do all kinds of films that are good script writers. He may be excellent. I don't know. I'm just looking at the titles of the films. So if you have any knowledge of him, email us. Don't necessarily go out and watch the movies just to get the knowledge, but I don't know. There's actually a poll right now. Here, let me check out the poll. Because there is a poll on the front page saying, many writers have been brought in at different times to work on the Dawn Treader script. Does this strike you as a good or bad sign? I haven't voted yet.
I think it's more a casualty of
good
the...
Good sign, not significant, bad sign.
I think all the different writers are more casualty of the big shakeup and the change of production companies and whatnot. I don't think it has anything to do with the, you know, trouble doing the book itself, necessarily.
So it's, you'd say not very significant, Jim Van?
I don't think it's too significant. Obviously, it's not usual, it's not normal that this is happening, but then again, it's not normal for a franchise to switch production companies. And with production companies, they kind of redid their rewriting the script to whatever.
Okay. Well, I mean, because the thing I liked about The Lord of the Rings, and I'm sorry to keep bringing this up as an example, but I think it really is going to, for a while, it's going to be that, I think it for a while will be the template for... here is how to adapt a difficult fantasy novel,
of which Dawn Treader is
make
not.
A quality
anyway.
Movie. It is a fantasy.
It's not a difficult fantasy.
No, it's very. You're right. You're right. But I'm just saying that better to have a template for doing something hard than easy, because you know. But my point is, I mean, Peter Jackson, Philippa Boyens, and Fran Walsh, who had. Years. I mean, they were working on this since the mid-90s with their story ideas, when it was going to be two films and then moving it to three. And so these people knew each other. They had this long development that and process they could go through where maybe they decided, like at one point, hey, we want to bring Sauron in to have him fight Aragorn in The Return of the King. And they went with that for a long time. Then they realized, you know, maybe actually Tolkien had a better idea when he didn't have that. Maybe it's actually better that it not work out that way, and they went back to the way the book did it. And so you have this long thought process and brainstorming that I'm not sure that you would get with a committee. So, but then we just know that right now he's the only guy apparently.
Yeah.
Just takes over.
So we don't know if he's completely
so
scratched
I don't know how many people...
what everything they've done before and started over, which is unlikely.
And I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have completely scrapped it.
But let's hope they didn't go too far back, because...
And then it just says, update, Douglas Gresham has confirmed that Narnia Web, that Michael Petroni is indeed signed to help script Dawn Treader. So
guess we'll just have to wait and see.
So, perhaps, although, actually, let's cover the release date last. I mean, we actually, Ben Barnes was cast in the movie Ophelia. This is from digitalspy.com. And apparently it's a new reworking of Shakespeare's Hamlet. He's going to be playing Hamlet, apparently, but it'll tell the movie from the perspective of his girlfriend, and I'm wondering, come on, she dies before the ending, not to spoil it for anyone, it's Hamlet. I'm hoping that, you know, if I mention that Romeo... saying that, Darth Vader is Luke's father. I hope I didn't ruin that for anyone. Actually, a while ago, I finally saw the movie The Sixth Sense at the age of 21, and I finally saw it, and I'd never, the ending, no one had ever ruined the ending for me. And we were all joking about, oh yeah, Darth Vader is Luke's father, and one guy in class goes, oh yeah, and like in The Sixth Sense, where, and I just yelled in his face, I stood up and screamed, no! I'm watching it this weekend! Don't ruin it! And he just looked at me going, okay. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yes, Ophelia. Okay, back to on the topic. apparently, I think he's going to be filming, I don't
it
know.
It said early
Did
summer.
It say? Early summer. Production is slated to start in early summer. Will that conflict
it
with Voyage of the
might.
Dawn Treader? Might, but, you know, I'm thinking that Voyage of the Dawn Treader is going to take precedent
Well, it
over
has
this.
to.
It has to. But especially since that is his role. I mean, Prince Caspian is kind of what put him on the
Right.
map, so to
And
speak.
from a technical standpoint, I mean, he had this contract first, so he's obligated to fulfill it first.
Yes. So, man, if you don't stick to it, then you're gonna get letters from Jim Fan. Let me point out to you that your contract says you have to do our movie first. By the way, just so you guys know, this is sort of—I don't know if this proves I'm narcissistic or what—but I was looking through Word on the Street. I see "really in speech chosen for monologue contest."
I know.
I thought it was some speech I gave in. I thought it was one of my little spiels on the podcast. I thought, oh, cool, they listened to my spiel on something like the salvation and redemption of Eustace, and they're going to put it in some monologue contest.
Like,
and I was reading from, it says, really in speech to Puddleglum. I thought, oh, they're talking about when I was talking to Glumpo. and I was just reading through it. I thought, oh, wait, they're talking about from the book. Well, okay. Well, the big news. Are we ready to move on to the big news?
Big news.
I don't know. Do we tap on the microphone? Because I don't really have it. Okay, the big news is Dawn Treader gets a new release date.
Woot woot!
December 10th, 2010. 12, 10, 10. Actually, sorry. 12, 10, 2010.
Mark it down on your calendar.
Okay. 12, 10, 2010. The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Whoa.
Exciting.
And it says that the first, let's see, Mouse House released the first two Narnia films. I've never heard of Mouse House. Oh, sorry. That's right, Disney. Sorry, it took me a second. Mouse House released the first two Disney films. First one debuted in December and coming up 291.7 million domestically. Sequel was released May to less spectacular results, coming 141.2 million at the North American box office. Walden and Fox believe Narnia is better suited for December release.
Hello,
yes! As of now, Dawn Treader has the 2010 date to itself.
Yes. And
is that still true,
Jim yep.
Fan?
As far as I know. And the movies that are surrounding it, I'm just reading off a list that I found on NarniWeb. I see that November 5th, there's a movie called Mastermind. Never heard of it. November 19th is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
It was November 15th?
19th. And there's nothing before Dawn Treader, before the 10th, that I can see.
Right.
The 17th, the week after, they're releasing The Smurfs, which is like, woot woot, big competition. Not. to be announced is Rapunzel, which is Disney's big movie.
Which should get squashed.
Don't know when that's supposed to come out. I heard it might come out on either Christmas Eve, or they might move it forward to November. Either way.
Okay, I would like to know, does anyone go to the Christmas Day / Christmas Eve movie releases?
No.
I've never been to any of those. Maybe I went once. I think maybe the first Santa Claus came out really close to Christmas.
I don't know.
With Tim Allen? The first one. Come on, who wants to go to... Oh, I really want to go to a movie. Let's go outside.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if you're a Floridian, you want to go outside. You know.
But no.
Or you're in Australia, and you know, it's summer. Let's go outside and go to the beach on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I want to have a vote. Raise your right hand, or, I don't know, say you're raising your right hand. I can't see you. If you think that this release date is going to stick... I raise my
I
right
hand. I think
it's
a stick.
We are voting for everyone,
if
so
it doesn't
there is
stick,
no disagreement.
We are in huge trouble.
I don't know. They might. You never know. I mean, let's see. What is December 10th? Let me look on my little calendar. Because Terminator, they just changed the Terminator release date to one day earlier, which I thought was sort of weird. They went from May 22nd to May 21st.
To what? A Friday to a Thursday?
Let's see, this Friday the 10th is December. But yeah, they moved Terminator from a Friday release to a Thursday release.
Hey.
I mean, I remember, I love Narnia. I love that they're doing Narnia because what else am I going to do with my
yeah,
life?
Exactly.
I mean, really, the Lord of the Rings ended, and I thought, okay, I guess I have nothing to do with my life.
Yeah, really.
And now then, Narnia, yes, that's 7 films. That's going to be great.
That
okay.
is so sad.
Which, actually, that could be a good transition into our first question. All right, well, let's go ahead and get to emails. And for our email section today, we're going to have Dr. Ransom joining us. Doc, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Rillian. How are you today?
Oh, I am fine and dandy. I'm all manner of shiny today.
All right. Shiny. Okay, there we go. Folks, more Firefly references, just like before.
Just like before. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
First one, we're going to have to mix in other TV shows. I don't know. Anyone watch Heroes? Do they have any cool...
Nope.
I don't watch Heroes
watch
either.
Reality TV.
They have, do you watch reality TV? So
some kind. I don't
throw...
watch. I don't watch TV. Okay, I watch anything online. But the only thing I do watch is reality. Yes.
So like, you're gonna throw in a reality TV reference, it'll be something like yeah.
No. Yeah.
Because that's
what
reality.
Real people say. That's what real people say.
Yeah.
They don't say anything interesting. Okay.
I watch Star Trek. I watch Doctor Who, and I watch more
Ooh.
Star Trek.
Okay.
And I watch more Doctor Who. That's about it.
Let's read some emails that no one has ever read before.
Yes, of course.
This is from this is from Indy. Indy, they're digging in the wrong place. Okay, good reference.
Go ahead.
Just keep going, I'll do the... No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
You do the rub-a-bum, 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 and I'll do the dun 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 dun.
I'm going to pretend like you didn't say that.
Okay.
Indy says, hey guys, Indy here. Sorry.
Hey, Indy.
Okay. I love the name Indy. I think it's cool that you... Indy, actually, I don't know if you're able to get that name on the forums, that is great, because anytime you can get a really cool... name like that, and it doesn't have to be Indie Lover 189 dash, you know, apostrophe. Okay,
I think he's the one with the avatar that has Prince Caspian with the Indiana Jones hat on.
Oh, I like it. Indy says, "Hey guys, Indy here. I'm really enjoying your podcast. One or a couple thoughts that concern me, and probably many others, is now that Fox is managing marketing, etc. How much stuff, quote unquote, will we get like?" Posters, bookmarks, coloring books, etc. I personally feel that Voyages of Dawn Treader will still get good promotion from Fox, but not nearly as good as Disney has done. Like everyone, I want Voyages of the Dawn Treader not just to be made, but to be extremely, even ridiculously successful. Thanks, Indy. Well, I mean, this is kind of addressing two issues here. First of all, overall marketing and promotion. Second, I'll call them gimmicks.
Like toothpaste
books.
And children's underwear.
I wasn't going to go
and
there.
And Band-Aids, but... and bed sheets, and giant stuffed fluffy pillows, and lamps and alarm clocks.
Like
and
the one I have.
Mouthwash. Oh.
I have like a giant stuffed fluffy pillows.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But you have a giant what? What do you have?
I have the giant stuffed fluffy pillow. My sister gave it to me as a gag gift.
What is
it? So you know the one with Caspian on it?
She has the
pirates
okay,
one.
Folks,
yeah,
no.
Jim Pan goes to. She sleeps with. Okay, no, I'm never mind.
No,
I'm not
dude,
don't
dude,
even
no.
go there.
Blimey, gee, okay,
I put it on the Aslan side. It has two sides, Aslan and Caspian. So I put.
Okay,
it on.
She has. Aslan.
There we go.
She,
so
she
the,
dreams
the,
with
the
Aslan.
Lion is always with you. Yeah, that's
the lion.
That's,
is, may the lion be with you.
Much more spiritually valid there.
Better than the Force, anyway.
Just don't anybody give
okay,
me a
okay,
Caspian
let's,
pillow, okay?
Let's not talk, yeah, no more Prince Caspian pillows. What was the question? Okay, will it get good promotion? I think first of all, Disney, of course, is amazing promotion. Although, I think we have to differentiate as far as how well Disney did promoting the first film with the second film. Because the first film, they had their, quote, roadblock, unquote, where everyone knew it was coming, and the second one they decided to fly under the radar, which Fantasia pointed out was not a good idea. Yeah. So I don't think that Fox, I mean, they don't have the powerhouse that Mouse House has, but I think that they, I think they could certainly do better than Disney did with Prince Caspian.
Yeah. I think it will be more serious advertising instead of like what Disney tends to focus more on the kids, I guess. You know, that's just what, I don't know how to explain it, but because Fox is not Disney and they don't necessarily cater to a all-encompassing audience, we might get more serious things, like more collectibles, as far as like merchandise going. As far as promotion, Disney has really good promotion when they choose to use it. So I don't know as far what Fox will do.
With the first film, I think the promotion was a whole lot better, partly based because of the first film's religious themes, and people are just more familiar with the story, so you could go all out, and you could do the Happy Meals, and you could do the posters, and they took a page from the Passion of the Christ marketing, actually, where, you know, they kind of had the encouragements for everybody to go out and bring in their church groups and everything, or just groups, but we knew that meant church groups, but this, with Prince Caspian, they didn't do that nearly as much. And either they thought, well, you know, the Christian themes aren't as powerful here. We're wanting to do more, you know, more quote secular unquote marketing effort.
They're trying to be more blockbuster-ish, you know.
Yes, and
they were marketing it like a blockbuster,
which is amazing because the first one was a blockbuster,
and then the second one, not so much. Well, the marketing was a little bit vague. All that you know was about to change, and that's kind of vague. And then the Bane posters with Prince Caspian. Here's Prince Caspian. He's big. He's cool. He's got long, wavy locks, and he has a great big sword. That's cool.
They didn't mention Miraz. They really didn't even say that he was the rightful heir to the throne and was denied. I mean, you kind of maybe guess that, but I think the trailers were, it's like every trailer was a teaser.
Yeah.
Yes. And in fact, they never really had just, okay, here's a teaser, here's a teaser, and then, whoa, here's a trailer. Now we're going to tell you about the story.
Well, it was more like the trailer actually was more of a super teaser, which was shorter. It was a minute and a half instead of, which was weird, but yeah. And as far as promote gimmicks and stuff, I actually don't know how that works, but I guess that's. I think that would be Walden's domain, wouldn't it, with the coloring books, etc.?
Not really, I don't think. A lot of it has to do with, I think gimmicks and merchandise go hand in hand with promotion. So
of course, Disney understands merchandise. I mean, George Lucas was the first one to figure out merchandising and the power there, and Disney followed suit.
Yeah.
So, and they apparently, although Disney's not with McDonald's anymore, is that true, Jim Fenn?
Yeah, Disney, McDonald's is no more. But that means, since Disney and Narnia is no more, that means you might still get Narnia toys, which will be nice, because I like those.
I managed to collect all 8, and only because somebody on Narnia Web swapped Edmund for me. I forget whom I had too many of, but I think it was Susan.
Oh, goodness. So you should have seen our family. We were insane. We went to, one night, we went to, like, all the McDonald's in our vicinity just to pick up the ones, because every kid wanted a set, and we have a lot of kids in my family. So we had to go to every McDonald's in our town to get them all. Yeah.
Wow.
I have so many.
So you made a return trip, and they go, oh, no, it's Jim Fan's family. You swarm them.
That was back in the days when we eat at McDonald's, like, every week. So
did you folks get the straight toys, or did you have to buy a heck of a lot of Happy Meals in order to get them?
Well, because of the size of our family, we always got Happy Meals. So we did buy the toys just by themselves. When they first came out, my parents went and got a box them for me.
I didn't know you could do that.
But the other ones we just collected.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, moving on to the next question. Because I do have to move us on.
Yeah.
Yes. I shall fail all of my midterms. I mean, right now I've only failed 2, but I don't want to fail all 3. Okay. This is an interesting one. This is from Georgie's Cordial. And Georgie's Cordial says, hey, I thought I would ask, are you guys on the council Christian? If so, how do you think this affected your reading and interpretation of the Chronicles of Narnia? Kind regards and all the best for the future, Georgie's Cordial.
This is the part where Dr. Alwyn Ransom does not take over the podcast.
Yes, the Narnian Christianity moderator has taken over the podcast. Actually, to answer your question, not necessarily Christian. here's just the way it's going to work out. If you are a huge, huge fan of Narnia, you are likely a fan of Lewis's other works. And if you are a fan of Lewis's other works, then you are likely of some Christian orientation one way or another. So I am a Christian. I'll go ahead and say it. I will say that we don't necessarily pick people for staff. The moderators or news posters aren't necessarily Christian. We choose the best people for the job.
It's not a prerequisite.
And, right. So everyone loves Narnia. That's what we have in common. And Christianity will tend to, often will just follow along with that.
I've seen some immature Christians that I would not want to be moderators or on the Narnia Web Council, and I've seen some mature non-Christians. It's just every once in a while it goes that way. And
yeah, it depends.
You don't have to be a Christian. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, we just pick the best people for the jobs. So, and everyone loves Narnia. That's really
flat.
The biggest. Yeah.
Exactly. And you don't have to be a Christian to enjoy the Chronicles of Narnia, but you're going to miss a lot of kind of secret messages that Lewis was conveying to Christians, because it's like closed captioning, and unless you know where to look, you're going to miss them.
I will say it's more personal, at least for me, I think it would be, because he's talking about something that, for me, I have an understanding that this is true, whereas other people who don't, well, then they see it as going to be, oh, wow, what a neat story. This is really cool. And, that's fine. But, yeah, it's not really a whole lot. I don't want to say a whole lot there because everything's been said before somewhere else as far as that goes.
Jim Fan, you got any other thoughts?
Nothing much to add, only that, I was... sorry, I lost my train of thought. It definitely... What?
Edit. No, just kidding.
Edit.
Yeah.
Go.
Sorry. No, go ahead, because actually what I was going to say completely doesn't have to go in with this at all. So go ahead. Sorry.
I had a profound thought and I lost it. Oh, I was going to point out.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
I know. It happens more than you would think.
I bet it happens to you a lot.
Software. actually, I was going to just point out I was 6 years old when I first read the Chronicles. Actually, my father read them to me when I was about six, and I took them for gospel. I was so sure that they were real. I believed everything. And then, and then we read The Last Battle, and I don't know if I cried. Because I realized I could never visit Narnia because Narnia was gone. Not to spoil it, but I was.
People who are unfamiliar with the conclusion of the Chronicles should not have listened to that last part.
Erase the last 2 minutes from your brains.
I was 10, and believe it or not, I was a 10-year-old little dweeb.
I do not.
And I saw the title, The Lion.
No, I don't believe it.
Believe it. Now I'm a 26-year-old dweeb. But anyway, I saw the title of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and even though it was a gift from my parents, my dweeby little legalistic self said, oh, no, there's a witch in the book. It must be bad. Must avoid. No, I was told, no, it's okay, really, it's okay. So I read it, and gradually, I don't even remember why, I just, of course, fell head over heels in love with all seven of them. And turned out they were absolutely not evil and pagan and tempting at all. Weird.
Yeah. Well, all right. Yep. I was 15 when I first read the books.
Oh, wow.
Did you see the movie first or did you read the books first?
I was like 19 when I first read The Fellowship of the Ring, so that's pretty bad.
I was 8.
See, I'm one of the people who actually saw the BBC version before I read the books. And I read the books
tainted.
In
Jim
April
Finn, you're a double heretic.
Of 2005. Yeah, I know, I'm a heretic. I read them in April of 2005, and I joined NarniWeb in June or May, I can't even remember. And I saw the movie that winter. And, things went really quickly.
No kidding. Huh? I've 2005 really, for some reason, Fincher has been around the Narnia web for much longer than that, but that's just due to a unique personality.
I actually became a mod of the biggest Narnia website even before I'd reached my 1 year anniversary of reading the books.
Wow.
So that's kind of fast if you ask me.
That is amazing. Okay, next question is, I think this is the really cool one.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Ooh, ooh!
Engage.
Star Trek! No, the next one is the really, really cool one. Not that this is not cool. This is from Anonymous. I'm going to call Anonymous Anonymous to make it sound more Odyssean.
Biblical.
From the Narnia Christianity Moderator. And the email says, "Hello, Narnia Council. I'm not one who goes onto Narnia Web for various sad reasons, but I'm a huge Narnia fan, and I really enjoyed listening to your 5 most recent podcasts off iTunes. And I plan to listen to more in the future. It's cool to hear fans like me discussing issues. One thing I'm most skeptical about is the Duffelpuds. I'm sure that they'll be able to pull it off, but I'm worried nonetheless. They being nothing like anything filmed before. They had to cut anything out of the movie. I have to admit that if they cut anything out of the movie, that scene would be the last thing I'd be disappointed about, though I love the bit with Lucy and Aslan almost the most. I'm also slightly concerned that they'll make characters smaller than they really should be, like Ed and Prince Caspian, where he was more like Peter's lesser-known sidekick. So I'm curious on your thoughts concerning that. One last thing, I was very happy to hear that the Doctor bringing up the end of the world the way he did. I want that bit to be just right myself and will not be happy with the way the series is going if they change it. Keep up the great work. Anonymous."
Well, thanks for your thoughts, Anonymous, but can you not give them any ideas for what can be cut? Let's just not give them any justifications for, let's cut that whole Duffelpud sequence. After all, there's at least one fan out there who says we can do that.
I think I don't think they should cut it at all. I think they can definitely do it well. There's some, again,
I don't think they should cut anything. Come on, guys.
I agree.
Well,
I'm going to say, start a petition.
There's some, you could do the film in such a way that trying to do the Duffelpuds would come off as weird. I think people are still debating. I still wonder whether they could have done Tom Bombadil in the Lord of the Rings films and he could have worked. I think the Duffelpuds could work. Depending on how if they try to do the film like a Pirates of the Caribbean, here's a sea action adventure, then it won't work. And I don't think Michael Apted's going to go that route. But if they went to the route of, here's a children's fantasy story, and it's about a really neat adventure, and they go to all these really completely different magical islands and, meet dragons and wizards and different creatures, I think a director who could pull off the Duffelpuds would be someone like Del Toro, who's able to, really, he can do creatures like no one I've ever seen. So I think that it can be done well. I just, I'm confident in the team that they'll be able to do it.
I think that there's, story-wise, it would be difficult to cut them out because of the story. Now, Tom Bombadil, it could be argued, nothing suffered in the Fellowship of the Ring film because he was cut out. But I don't think that would have been a problem from a visual effects perspective. It was just long and kind of detracted from the plot. But the Duffelpuds are essential to the whole story of what happens on Coriacan's Island, and he draws them the map and everything. It'd be difficult to cut all that out and not lose a huge part of the story. As for the special effects, Anonymous, you can improve. You cannot improve on the BBC, where they've got a couple of guys who squash their feet inside a giant shoe, and then they bounce them up and down a couple times on the trampoline while the cameraman lies with his back on the ground. There's no way you can top that.
Not really worried at all.
Jim Fenn.
Yep.
What about the character
I think that whatever the actual whatever actual visual effects solution has come up with, it'll probably involve tight green trousers. Or pants, as they call it in America, but trousers, as Rillian says, you have to call it in Britain, because otherwise it sounds really rude.
I'll tell you that since I've gotten back, I'm still, someone will talk about their trousers, and they'll say something like, "Well, that doesn't match your pants," and I'm going, "What you say that? Okay, never mind. You
know, blimey, still... folks, we just got a PG rating for crude humor.
Just because your mind's in the gutter and you think it means more than I meant it to mean. Hey, what about the character of Ed? Because Anonymous brings up the character of Ed, saying that he or she, I do not.
It's Anonymous. You're not supposed to know.
I mean, do you think that he's going to be kind of decrease as a character? I don't think so. I think that Scanner,
I think it's kind of hard for him to decrease any more than he already has in Prince Caspian.
Well, the character of Ed doesn't do a lot in Prince Caspian. I mean, he does more than he does in the movie, but really, I mean, even in the book, I can see how they could kind of accidentally make him a really small character.
But see, when it comes to Ed, there's always another alpha male to be in charge and have all the important stuff. In Lion, Witch, Wardrobe, it's Peter. In Prince Caspian, it's Peter slash Caspian, mostly Caspian. And then Don Treader, it's Caspian. And Edmund really never gets to be the alpha male.
Not in the book. I disagree. I think in the book that Caspian and Edmund are seen as sort of equals. I mean, Caspian's the current ruling king in charge, but as far as how they treat each other, I think they're sort of equals. As far as who's giving advice and who has ideas on what to do next.
True. But I don't think that will carry over to the movie as much.
Well, probably because of their age difference. But Skander's grown up. That little man has grown up, and he's I think he is the best actor out of all of them, personally, and I think that he's going to do a swell job in Prince Cas in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Did I just say swell?
Definitely.
I did. There's an American.
Yes, you did.
Say swell. I think that I think it more depends on the adaptation than the acting, quite honestly. But if you go back and look at the book, I was just remembering Edmund has at least one very pivotal role, and that's talking with Eustace after Eustace says, spoiler, returned to normal from being a dragon, unspoiler. And Edmund can identify with that to some extent because right. Eustace was a brat before. Now he's begun to change anyway. He began
says,
to become
a
different
jackass,
boy.
I was a traitor.
Yeah.
And that's a scene they cannot cut out. I mean, that's one of those scenes where if they cut that out, oh my goodness, I'm going
it's,
to be... That is
it's
that
such
is next
a beautiful
to,
picture of redemption. Absolutely beautiful.
That
yeah.
is. I'm trying to think. What is an equivalent point in?
Because they mangled
say,
everything so much in Prince Caspian.
No, I was going to say Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Because Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe had stuff that was more. I would say that is next to the explanation to the two girls after the resurrection. I think it is almost.
Yeah, I was just about what I was saying.
Not as crucial to the story. But as far as crucial to the themes and the development of the characters, it is just as crucial. I mean, non-viewing audience, you know, if they cut that out of the line with the wardrobe, they'd go, whoa, 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 how come there's no explanation? Here, it would just move on, but they would miss so much they wouldn't even know what they missed.
What I was disappointed, well, aside from the duffel butt effects, which are fabulous, but in the BBC Voyage of the Dawn Treader, they cut out Edmund and Eustace talking. They did.
And they just cut right to the present. Like it was
I just reconnected with a memory from my distant past and realized that that has always disappointed me.
I just reconnected with a memory that you brought up and realized that I'd intentionally blocked it. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I'll try not to bring up any other suppressed memories like that. We're having a little therapy session here on the Narnia Web podcast.
There's a lot of scenes in Dawn Treader we're going to be so upset if they take out.
No, don't. We're trying to suppress our memories here.
Okay, this is only the BBC memories. Sorry. Some BBC, some
well,
person
I have
who
a few
poured their heart
like
out on that. Some so person who poured their heart out on those movies is going to be listening, and they're going to be hurt by this.
Folks, you can send all your hurtful letters to Rillian, our podcasting prince.
No,
I'd just like to get that out.
No.
You can send all the nice letters to me.
No, send them to Dr. Elwyn Ransom at narniaweb.com. And
that,
all bound.
You're just
going to
head off into a black hole somewhere because there is no such address. Mailer Demon is coming at you, beating his pitchfork frustratingly.
You just raised this up to a PG-13 podcast. We went from PG to PG-13.
Okay.
Next email and final email. How long have we been doing emails? 25 minutes.
A really long time.
Okay, next email.
Hey, we're doing well.
Thanks. If it works. Okay, next email. Dear podcast... Okay, I have to read this with the... I'm going to read this with the smiley... what do you call them? Smiley images?
Emoticons?
Yes, the emoticons in the email, and they're moving and making faces at me right now, which is sort of weird. Okay. Dear Podcasting Prince Weakyface. That came out really weird. Dear Podcasting Prince Weakyface and everyone else who is a part of Narnia Web Podcast, thank you so much. I love the Narnia Web Podcasts. I don't usually get a lot of time to spend on NarniaWeb.com, but I do spend a lot of time in the car, giving me plenty of time for the podcasts. They are a way that I can be a part of Narnia Web. I enjoy the Narnia talk, Narnia news, and the jokes you guys always tuck in. Giggly face. I agree with you in the last podcast that it would be great to talk about Narnia and Christianity in the podcasts to come. Thank you again. Thanks again, you guys. Fellow Narnia fan in Indonesia, Emily E. That is cool. We have a Narnia fan in Indonesia. P.S. I almost forgot my question. Giggly face. I'm pretty clueless when it comes to this kind of thing, but does Disney leave having anything to do with the soundtrack for Voyage of the Dawn Treader? The soundtrack for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Prince Caspian are some of my favorites, and I would hate to see the awesome Narnia theme song not be in Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Well, Emily, as Disney leaving does not have a direct effect on the soundtrack, what does have more of an effect is really just the fact that the composer is leaving, and now we have David Arnold, who is on the new one. So it's really a question of what he wants to do more than Disney. And I think he'll probably keep in some themes, but he'll very likely build on new ones since this is much more different from the first two than Prince Caspian was from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yep, I believe so, too. And the go ahead, Jim Fan.
No, I was just saying,
no,
this
ladies
is
first.
Quintessential. I agree, Post. Yeah. I think it will be mostly new. I don't think we'll see a whole lot of carrying over. I just don't. I have a feeling it will be mostly new.
The Prince Caspian soundtrack did, it was the same by the same composer, of course, and it did carry over many of the themes, many of the exact cues, as has been pointed out before, that The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe had. I wouldn't mind a composer who took a little bit more liberties with that and blended in the themes from the first film and then came up with some of his own. You need, you know, a theme for like High Seas Adventure. You may need a theme for Aslan's Country. I did like, in the BBC Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the melody that they had for Reba Cheep's Lullaby. I really like
I love that.
Melody. I love that. Now see, we said something good about the
there
BBC.
We go. I mean, really, that was it was very simple, but it had so much potential to just be fully fleshed out. And I don't know, I think I kind of remember it as being grander than it really was, but it really was nice. And I don't think it's available on the soundtrack, which you can buy. But if
oh,
I were
can buy
to
the
any,
BBC in the soundtrack. That's great.
You can buy the BBC soundtrack. I think it's on iTunes. The two songs I would buy, I still really like Tumnus's pipe song, and I really like the lullaby song. But as far as themes that they should keep in, they can keep the same themes, just flesh them out, develop them more. I think we should keep in, kind of get a new rendition of the Pevensey theme. Since we have two of the same Pevenseys, but we have a new scrub. And also, I think that we should keep Reepy Cheep's theme, maybe flesh that out, give it some more twang to it. The Prince Caspian theme, I loved that theme in the second film, and I think it should definitely be expanded here. And I think we should finally get an Aslan theme, which we never really got. We got kind of a little bit of the children's heroic theme whenever they had Aslan, but... I think that Aslan deserves his own theme.
Definitely.
I think Aslan before had the same theme as Narnia. It was hard to tell. I didn't know Prince Caspian had his own theme though, and I remember a little. Okay,
it's
that
really
I missed.
The scene it didn't make it into the soundtrack too well. The scene where you can the songs where you can best hear it. Prince Caspian escapes on the soundtrack when the main titles come up. That is the Prince Caspian theme. It also plays. In the battle, not the the Return of the Line, but the actual battle song. And the time in the movie where you can hear it the most clearly is when Prince Caspian is giving his speech to the Narnians. It's very clear, very slowly, very slow, and you can hear it. It's anyway, it's a really well done theme, but it didn't. Sorry, I'll cut that out.
No, do it again.
No. But sorry, I think that was a good theme that they need.
I'll have to go back and at least listen for Reap a Cheap's theme too. I remember. That's right. I do remember kind of this little tinny melody in the background.
Yeah, that's
the one. That's the one. It's karaoke night on the podcast, people.
Yeah. We should totally do a podcast karaoke.
Oh, idea. Definitely one to write down. Yes. People,
it's like the guy on YouTube who does the Star Wars karaoke. Have you seen that guy? Oh my god!
Remember when we were all going to sing the call? Remember? We had big plans. We were going to sing the call together a long time ago.
We were, but
could
really
we sing the? Can we sing the whale? The version at Warrior for Jesus, and I wrote about the Narnia fans' reaction to the kiss instead.
No, let's not talk about the kiss. No. I am done.
We're
with
talking
this.
About suppressed memories. Hello.
Oh, that's
fine,
true.
About
I'm
the kiss.
Sorry.
Go on.
I'm
go online. Go to YouTube and look up the Hitler Susan kiss video that. Glumpuddle did.
Yes. With Glumpuddle's absolutely perfect tagline, quote, "The kiss is so evil, even Hitler was offended," end quote.
Well,
that's
what
priceless.
What was the whole
there.
Title of the video? Is it "A Narnia Fan Reacts to the Kiss"? I think it's the title of the video or something like that. If you
well,
Google...
just do a YouTube search for Narnia and Hitler. You'll be able to get it.
Or if you know how to find my YouTube account, which is the same name as my name is everywhere, it's in my favorites, if you're lazy like that.
Yeah, and it'll have in my favorites, youtube.com.
It's called...
And if you go
it's
to
called
YouTube.com,
Narnia Fans React to Susan Kissing Caspian.
Yeah, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/princerillian, and Glumpuddle's is youtube.com/gpuddle, and he's got all kinds of favorites and stuff. Well,
yeah, who would have known that all that German was actually translating was actually translated as Hitler's outrage about Susan Kissing Caspian.
I speak German. That's well, not what he was saying.
it's really weird.
I am German.
You speak it?
What was it? What is it that she had said back there in the email? Something about wanting to do something about the controversies.
Narnian Christianity in the podcast. Yeah, she said, "I agree with you in the last podcast that it would be great to talk about Narnia and Christianity in the podcast to come."
There are three controversies, and I think only three. The first one is Narnia an allegory? The second one is, why did Emeth get into the new heavens and new Narnia? The third one is, why did Susan not get into the new heavens and new Narnia? There are the controversies, and I'm considering making threads for all three of those and put them as stickies in the Narnia Christianity section.
There's actually a fourth, but we're not allowed to discuss that one.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. There is a fourth, and we're not allowed to discuss it. But actually, it wouldn't be a controversy on the podcast.
It's not a religious controversy. It's just a story controversy. But the controversy that must not
be
named. It
wouldn't be a controversy with us, though. It wouldn't be interesting because we all agree.
Oh, that's true. We do, don't we?
So it wouldn't be interesting. We had a whole discussion last semester in Oxford about the controversy of Emeth, and I have my own theory about it, and I'll share it with you guys sometime. On that episode, I shall share my theory, and you can give me your thoughts on it. But
I will look forward to that if we do that sometime. I think that would be very interesting.
I think I shared it on the forum once. I don't know if I've... I think I did share it on the forum once.
What's kind of nice is that when you've been on the forum long enough, you get to do a bit of e-cycling. You can just go back and copy what you wrote before.
That was a while. 2 years ago, here's copy and paste.
Here's what I said back here, you know, April 16th, 2006 about this. So I'm just going to go read the post now. I'm just going to go make some coffee and not bother about it myself. Cheerio.
You post quote a lot. You self
quote. I wonder what in the world I did originally when there wasn't enough to quote from.
You actually had to sit and think.
You actually had to quote from the books, which is what you're talking about anyway.
Well, that's true. Oddly enough, a lot of times on NerdyWeb, I don't talk about the books as much as I should. So, except in Narnia Christianity, which is
sinner.
Always got some interesting stuff in there, folks. So, go and check it out.
You are a sinner. Admit it.
I'm trying to repent of my ways. I really am. One of my acts of penance is to get on the Narnia Web podcast and talk about Narnia.
Which should give us bonus points as far as,
penance?
as far as our ranking as on the forums. I think that I should get bonus points for all my comments on the podcast because I say so much here, and I'm thinking, I'm actually only a Narnia Web guru, or what's above guru? Fanatic, zealot. What's above guru?
I think it's fanatic. I think I graduated from guru and didn't even know it, and then I looked.
I'm
and
a
thought,
Narnia
hey,
Web
there's
fanatic.
There's an extra blue box there.
I'm an Onyweb fanatic, and I should be, you know, demigod or something.
No.
You're right. Well,
it's not about the numbers, but the quality of your contributions.
That's what we try to tell everyone all the time.
Yes, shall we say it again? Shall we say it again? How about you just say it again, Jim fan, so the message gets through loud and clear.
It's about quality, not quantity. Do you understand? Don't post a lot. Like, tons. It's not good. It makes us upset. Really upset.
Yes, and it costs money, too, because the servers aren't free.
Posting.
Yeah, be nice to the moderators.
Yes.
Be really nice to us. We are so abused of work. No, we're not, actually.
We'll be nice to them if they be nice to us.
And with that, we are ending this episode. And we've just passed half of 100 people. This is episode 51.
Awesome. May there be a blessed next 50 podcasts. Well,
49.
Yes, 49.
Okay. Well, this was fun. Those are not all the emails that I got, but again, thanks for sending in emails. Keep sending them in. We've spent over 40 minutes talking about emails, and that was 4 emails. So, anyway, actually, I think it was 5. Woohoo! So, thanks for sending in emails. If you want to send in more, then send them in with this headline or subject line podcast to rillian@narniaweb.com. If you send them to JimFan or Dr. Elwyn Ransom, I will likely not get it, or maybe I'll get it too late.
No, you will get
yes,
them.
So don't...
I'll forward right. them. I won't
but
hog
don't
the
send
emails,
them to
I
me
promise.
Anyway.
Yeah, I get them. I just, but sometimes I've actually... you know, made my little list, and then I get a forward, and I'm going, oh, okay, I have to now deal with this, because my life is hard enough as it is.
Poor you.
I know. Anyway, that is the end of this episode. Thank you, JimFan. Thank you, Dr. Elwyn Ransom.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I think I should just call you Bones, you know, with the new Star Trek coming out. Hey, Bones.
Why don't you ever talk about something I understand?
You know what? I probably will not be seeing the new movie, so if you see it, please don't talk about it because I won't understand it either. Although I do like Bones, so I'm the old Bones.
Have you seen the new trailer?
I have. Unfortunately, there's some moments in the trailer that cannot be discussed in a family podcast, so I probably will not be seeing.
That's true.
So.
How unfortunate. That irks me. It rubs me the wrong way. I will confess. But I will say this. Carl Urban looks terrific as Dr. Leonard McCoy. He looks... I mean, Carl Urban, A. Omer, Lord of the Rings.
I don't know how he's
going to
pull
like
off the
great.
Voice. This man's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. This man's dead. This man's dead. Gosh, Jim, he's dead. You know? I can just master that, then the imitation will be perfect.
I'm a doctor, not a pilot. I'm a doctor, not a doctor.
Yeah, pretty much all I know about Star Trek is that one of the TV show episodes was filmed at my dad's old workplace in Redondo Beach. It's really hilarious. We can see, like, the places where we used to have lunch and stuff, and they're filming there. It's supposed to be, like, this weird planet, and it's Redondo Beach.
Which series was that, Jim Fan? Do you remember?
I don't know. My sister watched the episode. I didn't.
I've probably seen it then, but I'll ask you later about what that
Patrick
was about.
Patrick Stewart was amazing as Captain Picard, I will say that. And a friend of mine, he went to see the Royal Shakespeare Company when he was in England with me, my roommate, and he did not know that Patrick Stewart was performing live. Wow. So he got to see Patrick Stewart in Hamlet, and he was sitting in the third row.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yes. Wow.
See, I would have tapped Patrick Stewart to be the voice of Aslan, but everything could have been done so much better if I'd been in charge of casting, but...
I think they tried, didn't they?
I did not hear that.
They asked a bunch of people. I know they asked a bunch of people. I think. Oh, well.
Nothing against Liam. He did a good job.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Jim Fan.
You're welcome.
Thank you, really.
Till next time, we are the NarniaWeb.com Council. And I don't know why people say until next time. It's not like, you know, I'm going to stop being, you know, until next time. I'm your host, Brilliant. What do you mean, until next time? Because I'm still really in next time. It's not like we rotate with
the
host.
I was just wondering about that
time,
the other day. Wow. I feel like a bonding moment here because I thought I was the only one who was picking apart people's words like that.
We just don't want to say goodbye, do we?
No, we don't. This is too much fun.
No,
but we'll have
too
to
much
save
fun.
It for next time.
Say,
and
next
we're going to be ourselves until next,
next
time.
Until next time.
Okay, I hope your recording is going well because I didn't record any of this. Just kidding.